Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Are you done having children?
100%. 200, 300, 400%. Yes, I'm done. This happened for a reason. This is actually a message, I believe, from God saying, you are done. It's more than doubled the family size. So now I have to really, really realize that, this has to, it's done. It's done.
That's Nadia Suleiman, mother of now 14 small children, eight of them newborns, premature, very small babies, octuplets, in a conversation with Ann Curry on NBC. We're going to be playing a little bit from that interview on NBC. This California woman, unemployed, who recently gave birth to octuplets via in vitro fertilization. I got some questions for you as we listen to this audio. A couple questions. First of all, is this just plain irresponsible? That's been the general response of the media on this. Wherever you look, it's, come on. This is irresponsible. Either she was irresponsible or the doctors were irresponsible, but this is irresponsible. What do you make of the whole angle on in vitro fertilization in this? Because she had the eight children because six, or they believed six embryos, were implanted in her womb. Two of them turned out to be twins. So people are asking, has in vitro fertilization gotten out of hand? Should there be something done about the possibility of this kind of thing happening? Of course, it's routine to implant multiple embryos, and then what they'll do is if the mother doesn't want more than one, they'll simply abort some of them. Now, there's no father around for this young woman, and she's unemployed presently. What do you think about that? She went into this without a father around. There's a donor, but not a father, so to speak. And yet, if you listen to that interview on MSNBC, what you heard was, at times, an ardent defense of embryonic life. Why did she keep these babies? They're her babies. The embryos are alive. She could not allow a doctor to make a decision or to make the decision herself not to have these children because this is life. What do you make of this California woman giving birth to octuplets? Now she has, because she had six at home already, 14 children. It's Audio Open Lines. Wednesday, February the 11th, I'm Todd Wilkin, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or you can email us questions or comments right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. So there are at least four issues I want you to think about. Should Christians avoid in vitro? Because after all, this is what may happen. She wants to keep her baby. She's defending life. That's good. Is it irresponsible of her to have done this and with no father around? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talkback@issuesetc.org. We begin with Ann Curry interviewing Nadia Suleiman, asking her, was she irresponsible?
Nadia says her doctor routinely transferred about six embryos because of her troubled medical history, which she says lowered the odds that any embryo would survive. And that's what she says happened in the procedure that led to the octuplets.
And that's what was available, and I used them. So I took a risk. It's a gamble. It always is.
Did he explain to you the risks of a multiple birth?
All of them. Absolutely, with all of them. It's not much different this time.
So you're saying you were fully informed that there was a possibility of a high multiple pregnancy, although you didn't think it was likely.
No,
because of your past experience.
The statistics on that, 0.0000001%.
So you don't have a job. Mm-hmm. Your student loans have run out. Mm-hmm. So you're saying you have no income coming in
at
right
the moment,
now?
No.
Are you not being selfish?
No, I'm not being selfish. I don't believe I'm selfish in any way.
But how is it not selfish to bring children in the world that you cannot actually afford?
Because I know I'll be able to afford them when I'm done with my schooling.
You obviously love your children.
Of course.
When you really face that you have made a choice,
yes,
based on fulfilling your need.
To have a lot of children.
Yes. To what degree is this too much about you and not enough about them?
I think after the six, I started to really acknowledge. I started to acknowledge that, well, I don't want to have too many more. I'm going to use what I have available. If none grow, that's fine. That's acceptable.
So that's your button.
Okay. But as we all know, she had eight more. The world outside is saying, what are you doing?
I'm providing for my children. I'm providing myself to my children. I'm loving them unconditionally, accepting them unconditionally.
But you're not providing for your children. You don't have the income to provide for your children.
I am providing for my children. I am. And they don't feel it. They don't feel as though we're struggling.
Your children don't.
Absolutely not. No. Everything I do is for them. I'll stop my life for them and be present with them and hold them and be with them. And how many parents do that? I'm sure there are many that do, but many don't. And that's unfortunate. And that is selfish.
All right. What do you make of this? She's asked, and many people are asking, don't you think this is irresponsible? Don't you think this is selfish? What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I know you have an opinion about this, and I know this is a tricky question. It's difficult because, well, babies are born. Good. Lots of babies, nothing wrong with that. But she has no job. The man is not around. She's still in school. She has no way of paying for any of the things, that the responsibility she's taken on herself, and now the responsibility of eight more children on top of the six she already has. Two of the children of the octuplets are expected to be special needs children. You think about diapers, baby food, everything else. You know, they were calculating last night when they did this interview about $1 million a year in expenses. Do you think it's irresponsible? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Next, Nadia Suleman talked about the father of the octuplets and where he fits into the entire picture here.
So you're going to be by yourself in this house.
That's what I want. I will have in and out help, volunteers and friends.
You're going to need a lot of help.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of not only hands, but you're going to need a lot of money. You're going to need diapers.
Yeah.
You're going to need formula.
That's resources that have been offered already.
Her parents do what they can to help, but they are of modest means. Nadia's mother has called her daughter's decision to have more children unconscionable. And what about the biological father of all these children? Remember, Nadia made sure at the outset that he would have no say in things.
Some people feel that it is a problem if you were a single mother, because there isn't a father, and children need a father.
I absolutely believe that. And they do have a father who is not present in their life, but who someday will be present in their life.
Does the father of these 14 children, the same father for all 14, does he have a reaction?
He was shocked. He didn't know what to say. He needs time. So in the future, someday maybe, he would be open-minded to knowing them. And if he's not, they have a grandpa.
All right, think about this for a moment. I know that it is no longer taboo in our culture to have unwed mothers, single mothers. Here's a single mother, already has six kids. And then through in vitro fertilization, no one's believed it could happen, but of course the possibility was always there, and it did happen, octuplets. And no father in the house. It's Audio Open Lines live this Wednesday, February the 11th. I want to know what you think about the story of this unmarried California woman who gave birth to octuplets via in vitro fertilization. Irresponsible. Yes or no? No father around? A little bit later, we'll hear why she wants to keep these babies. She wants to keep them because she believes that even embryonic life is life. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Does this raise questions in your mind about in vitro fertilization? Should Christians be wary of it? Is it immoral? Is it something Christians should avoid? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. Finally, here's Nadia Suleman. She's talking about why she implanted all six embryos when she knew the risks, and everyone was telling her the risk of having all of them come to term is a possibility.
She still had frozen embryos left over from her last treatment.
I couldn't live with the fact that if I had never used them, I'll be 70 years old and regret the fact that I didn't allow these little embryos to live or give them an opportunity to grow.
Why wasn't disposing of the embryos an option?
Oh, boy. Now we're going to get into a really controversial topic. And I believe all children are blessings from God. And to allocate that role to a doctor, to dispose of a life, is incomprehensible to me.
The sheer number of them created profound risks for their health and Nadia's. At this point, some doctors recommend selective reduction of the fetuses. Nadia wouldn't hear of it.
You know what? It gives any human being the right to pick and choose which embryo, which fetus is more valuable than another. You know, that is not up to human beings.
Not an option.
Absolutely not.
She wanted the babies, all of them.
What was in your heart? What was in your mind?
I embraced it fully. I embraced it.
You didn't want just one or two embryos?
Of course not. I wanted them all transferred. Those are my children.
All right. I want to hear from you after the break on this story. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talk back at issuesetc.org. What do you think of this California woman, unemployed, husband not in the picture, or father, I should say, not in the picture, giving birth to octuplets via in vitro fertilization when she already had six kids at home, bringing the grand total to 14. And she did it for pro-life reasons. She couldn't see the babies remain frozen or have them aborted. We'll be right back. And always will. Oh, it is enough to fill our lives with love.
Noted author and Christian apologist Craig Hawkins on why you should support Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure to recommend to you Issues Etc. It's one of the few programs discussing crucial concerns for Christians. It's done in a dynamic format, again discussing crucial issues, and in an insightful manner. The program is very much needed. In my opinion, it's one of the most important broadcasts on the air, and it's one of my favorites. So if you want to grow in your faith, know what you believe and why, then this program is for you. I want to encourage you to listen, and I want to encourage you to support the broadcast, both prayerfully and financially.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, or you can make a credit card donation at our website, issuesetc.org, defending the faith, teaching the truth, Issues Etc.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc., Luther Ray Smith, Christian Berg, Don Edwards, Pastor Kenneth Mars, Kevin Pomerenke, Melissa Beck, Stuart Cole, Pastor Richard Ramirez, Sharon Gentry, and Kevin Church. Thanks for your support.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Heaven, my baby, you're a woman in love, and I love what's going through.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about this California woman with octuplets on top of six more children, 14 children in all, no job, father not around. And the world is saying this is the height of irresponsibility. Yes, the technology exists for us to be able to do this, but doesn't she know how to do it the right way? If there are six embryos implanted, do standard operating procedure as in vitro fertilization would call for, and call the herd. One, two kids, maybe then she'd only have eight at home and not 14. That is standard operating procedure in in vitro fertilization. Is that part of the problem? The reason that she had these embryos implanted and the reason that she carried them to term was because she's pro-life. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Do you agree that this is irresponsible? What's your general reaction to this woman? Paula in O'Fallon, Missouri writes this. While I do not agree with the mother implanting eight embryos into her womb, I feel that there are a couple of points that the media is missing. The doctors who performed the procedure should also be held accountable in the public eye. Unfortunately, the reality is that this is a common practice with in vitro fertilization. Another important issue is the simple fact that the mother did the right thing by having the babies versus aborting the fetuses that she didn't want. In fact, she really did want them. Paula goes on. The politically correct term is selective, what do they call it? Selective reduction. That is the real story here that has been lost in society. If she had aborted the babies, writes Paula, and only delivered one baby, the story would never have seen the light of day. The murder of the remaining fetuses would have been an acceptable solution and is an acceptable solution practiced every day. I know you both respect the sanctity of life, and I hope these points will hit home and get some coverage. Thanks again for the opportunity to voice my opinion. Paula, thank you very much. She's absolutely right. Think about it. If she had done what the in vitro fertilization doctors may have well recommended she do, that is, called the herd, selective reduction, none of us would have ever heard about this at all. A number of human beings would have died in the process, but we never would have heard about it. Thank you very much, Paul, and thanks for listening in O'Fallon, Missouri. Don writes this. As an American citizen, this lady has the right to have all the children she wants to have. It is sad that there will not be a father to help her bring up the children. I hope she brings them up in the Christian faith. I do not like the pro-death forces who are attacking her in the media. If she had killed them, there would have been no problem. They are using this to bring government in and control the birth rate. All right, what about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Folks, I know you have an opinion on this story. I know the reaction in the Wilkin House when we first heard about it. The gut-level reaction is, now that's just irresponsible. Of course, at the time, I didn't realize why she'd done it, but I thought to myself, that's irresponsible. And knowing a little bit about in vitro fertilization, I thought to myself, what responsible doctor would have allowed this to happen? But then I caught myself and said, had the doctor been quote-unquote responsible, he would have practiced selective reduction on these embryos in her womb. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. One of my wife's favorite shows is that John and Kate Plus Eight. That's a young couple. They had two kids, I believe, and then they had six more. That makes eight, and it's very interesting. The children are adorable, by the way. But they catch a lot of heat, and they only have eight at home, and dad is at home, and now they're gainfully employed and rather wealthy because of the show, and people still call them irresponsible for raising such a large family. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., a pastor's roundtable will discuss original sin. Pastor Herb Miller, president of the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest, along with Pastor Gary McCracken of Trinity Lutheran Church in Troy, Missouri, and Pastor David Grassley of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Ann's on the line in St. Louis. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Todd. I've yet to hear the excuse for her not being married. I don't understand that. Now, I'm the oldest of 10 children, but we're 18 years spaced apart. I don't understand having children without being married to begin with, and I am not pro in vitro fertilization. I kind of think if God says you can't have children, there's adopting as an option. And, you know, sometimes we don't have to have what we want.
And isn't it strange to you that the kind of confluence of issues here, you got a young woman unmarried and where the father's not in the picture, who for fully pro-life reasons does something that the world calls irresponsible. She bucks the trend of in vitro fertilization standard operating procedure. And yet we do still have these nagging questions like, why are you having kids when you're not married? It seems like a whole jumble of things altogether.
It's a huge mess of things. And I can still remember when my daughter was a baby and she was crying and I couldn't comfort her. I went in the bathroom, locked the door, and covered my ears. That was with one child. She's already got six kids, so she knows there's going to be issues. I don't understand it. But the main thing to me is, why isn't she married?
That's an interesting question.
And I never have heard the discussion about, I haven't heard the whole story.
She's being quiet about it, I think, in the media. She's not talking about that aspect of it. You know, if she were married, think about the difference here. If she were married and had these children within the bounds of marriage, a lot of the issues that are surrounding her, for which people are calling her irresponsible, wouldn't exist. Bob in Vermont says, I'll bet that the government has paid for the absurdity. No person who isn't married has a right to procreate outside of marriage. Interesting. You know, we do have now a society where in marriage, out of marriage, children are just considered to be a commodity. This young woman, obviously for some strange reasons, wanted to have a large family. She felt some personal need. And then she says, and now she realizes how foolish this may have been. But the children are here. Carrie in Minnesota says, this has made me rethink in vitro fertilization a bit. It can be good for people with no other babies. And I completely agree with her option of not wanting to dispose of life. I think she may have been able to adopt out the embryos. I've heard of snowflake adoptions. That is, the frozen embryos are adopted by others and implanted in other wombs. I love it that she knew that they were all children. I just wonder about the wisdom of a single woman having in vitro fertilization at all. They're all precious, tiny babies. I saw them on TV. It certainly isn't the little one's fault. You're right very much there, Carrie. She seems to really love them, too. I just wonder about how she or we are going to support them. But they're real people, all of them, and I'm so glad she didn't pick and choose which ones to kill. Carrie, thank you very much. And this from Marilyn in Wheaton, Illinois. I'm enjoying your show today, as always. I don't understand how she is providing for her kids. She told the person interviewing her that she is providing, but no explanation of how, and I'm glad that she did not abort the babies. I don't think that they should have been implanted without a father in the house or financially able to care for them. Marilyn Wheaton, thank you very much. Well, obviously, I think when this happens to people, what usually happens is, who knows, it may not happen for this poor girl. There are companies who come forth and say, hey, we make diapers. Here are all the diapers you'll ever need. We make baby food. Here's all the baby food you'll ever need. Of course, with the media bashing her for irresponsible. You know what it is? Irresponsible. It's the charge of irresponsibility rightly leveled against this young woman, Nadia Suleiman. Yes. But not for the reason commonly cited. She is not irresponsible for letting these babies live. That is the most responsible, most motherly thing a woman can do. That's responsibility, not irresponsibility. She's not irresponsible for letting these babies live, for bringing them to term. Is she irresponsible for having children outside of marriage? Yes. Is she irresponsible for engaging in vitro fertilization, knowing full well the chances here and not seeking some other option? Yes. Morally questionable in vitro fertilization practices? Yes. But not for letting the babies be born. She may be irresponsible for a lot of things, but not for that. You know, two wrongs don't make a right. Was it wrong for her to do in vitro fertilization, to do this without a man around, to do this without any prospects of support? Yes. But to kill the babies would be another wrong, and it wouldn't have ever made it right. Not for her, not for the babies, not for us as a society. And the babies don't get punished for the parents' irresponsibility. She's doing the motherly thing. She's going to raise them. We pray that she has all the help she needs because she is going to need it. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for February is called He Was Crucified. It leads us straight into the season of Lent. It's a great book full of pictures and the thoughts of a medical doctor on the suffering of Christ. He Was Crucified. Find out more by going to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the cover on our homepage, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When you call, make sure to ask for the book of the month for February, the Issues Etc. book of the month for February, He Was Crucified. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc., Helen Hulk Hitchcock will join us. There's a priest who had some interesting ideas, controversial ideas, about the Holocaust and its scope, and he was at once excommunicated and then restored, and of course, Pope Benedict XVI is answering questions about it. We'll talk with Helen Hull Hitchcock about that on the other side, and then we'll talk confession and forgiveness with Pastor Stephen Parks. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues Etc. is straight ahead. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.